was a Christian. She still is. And she really inspired me to just start seeking God. And so I sort of did. And there was also a boy who went on my bus, commonly known as Nippy. I'm sure there are people who know Nippy. He always used to kind of say, you should come out to my youth group. And I did come out to the youth group. And that was the youth group that Nathan ran, and Jacques and Sharon they kind of ran the youth group too. And I just started coming out, and nobody noticed me at first. I was just like in the back watching. And then I went to the Lift Jesus Up Festival that year, and which apparently Don and Deborah were, well, they're not here, but they were like in charge of that. So it's kind of cool. I found that out later. But yeah, the song King or Cripple, Jacques and Sharon's sons were playing that, and Nippy was in that band too. And it was under an open sky. It was just, the stars were out. It was night. It was beautiful. And I gave my heart to Jesus. And that was just, I had a reason to live, a reason to keep going, a reason to accept myself. So for a while, life was really awesome. Like, God just kept opening doors and windows, and there were paths everywhere. It was just, I loved it. It was great. But constantly, there was this little bit of something that I was hanging on to, just about the way that I looked. I just, all through high school, it was just like, I'm fat, I'm fat, I'm fat, I'm fat, I'm fat. So I went on diets, I did everything, and then just ended up eating too much, and I don't know, anything that I'd lost, I'd put on again. So it was a struggle, I can look back now and say that, yeah, it got in the way of me getting to know God even more. And that's a shame, but still, God used me even though I was, you know, nothing, just unshaped rock. So then I went away to university, and I didn't have a huge piece about going away to school, but I went anyway, and there was a scholarship there, and so I kind of jumped on the bandwagon and said, why not? Let's go to university. And I loved, in high school, I loved theater. I don't know if that's my calling anymore, but I really loved it. And I thought that it was something that I wanted to pursue. So I chose a double major in English and theater at University of Ottawa. And I did really well my first year. But in the first months, I put on some weight. That always happens to students. They put on weight. You're away from home, you're sitting at your computer, you're just not active. So I felt very sensitive about that. And I want to read you guys a poem. I actually got published a bunch of times while I was at school. We have a little poetry magazine on campus, and unfortunately, they don't publish my poems now because I guess they're too happy, but the ones that they did, I'll read it to you. It's called Pessimism by Moonlight. Okay, here it goes. Silver slithers and crashes through the sky. The sparkling shards glisten below me, slicing open. The pavement swarms with a million scarlet rivers. Everywhere there are eyes. They do not dance. They cut. They sneer. They chew me up and spit me out. Everywhere the yellow faces follow, they moan and call my name. Laughing, mocking, spitting, talking. Nothing but a sick and ugly game. Those ebony circles framed in jewels, flashes of truth in the forbidding darkness. The reason, the goal. They slip away into morning, falling onto the bloody pavement. Suddenly I look around and see the silence. Childhood has slipped through my fingers like sand. Please, little one, don't run away. Let us hold on to each other. Hold on to today. And the mirror lay shattered at my feet. So that's where I was. I was real happy. And yeah, then one day, a guy was up in the kitchen. We always had debates because he was very Catholic and I was very Protestant. So we would sit there and have these verbal spats. It was great. But of course we both served the same God, so it kind of, you know, it always was okay. But then one day I went up into the kitchen, I was taking out my recycling or something, and he looked at me and he said, "You've gained quite a lot of weight, haven't you?" And I said, "Oh, I guess so, I don't know." He's like, "What are you doing wrong? Are you eating too many carbs at night? Like, what are you doing? Why are you this fat? Like, what's wrong?" And I was just like, what? And I was broken. I was completely and utterly broken. Like, I mean, guys are not supposed to do that. Guys, if anybody ever tells, just never tell a girl she's fat or that she's gained weight, because girls never need to hear that. So I began to take matters into my own hands. I forgot about God, and I started on a diet regime. I ate nothing but bran, fruit, and water. That lasted for like 2 weeks. It wasn't doing anything. So I got depressed and I started eating. But then I'd look in the mirror and I thought, I'm fat. So I'd go to the bathroom. I'd stick my fingers down my throat and I'd throw it up. And this cycle, which began as something I never thought I'd do in the first place, I never thought I'd do that. I have a brain. I know that you're not supposed to throw up what you eat. But I got into this cycle and that's all I did. It got to the point where I didn't live for anything else but for a number on the scale, a certain amount of calories on the treadmill, and that was it. I forgot about God, like literally, just forgot. I don't know how somebody could forget about God, but I did. And that summer, I was living at home, and I don't know if my parents knew. I was really good at hiding it because there are a lot of sources out there that teach you how to be a wonderful anorexic/bulimic person. You go on websites and they have tons of information on how to hide your sins. And so I adhered to those and I lost a lot of weight. A lot of weight. And I'm not going to say numbers or anything because I don't think that's right, but I did. I lost a lot. And what's more painful than losing that amount of weight is losing a will to live, losing faith, losing hope, losing everything spiritual inside. So I went back to school that fall, and I had a single room. My first year I had a double room with a roommate, and I had a single room second year, and that room was like, you never sin out in the open. You never sin where people can see you sinning. You sin in your room. And that room, that little closet, was where I sinned. It was where everything came out. And I can't, it's just, to think back, I am so ashamed. But I'm not ashamed because I know that is what I was, and that's not what I am. But it was pretty ugly. And, yeah. And it came to the point where one day, I got really involved in gymnastics when I was back at school. I used to be involved in gymnastics. I love gymnastics. I'm staying away from it for now, but someday I'll go back. And I was running around the gym in circles. And, you know, the only way I could do gymnastics was to be drugged up on painkillers and caffeine, because I wasn't eating anything, and what I did eat, I threw up or I took laxatives. And I was running around, and all of a sudden I thought, why am I doing this? What am I doing? I used to have a personality. I used to have a reason. I used to have motivation. If I were here years ago, you know, at this gym, I would be having the time of my life, but now I'm just doing this because it's a routine. And that was when I just, something broke in me, and I was running one day. I ran a lot, and I went to a counselor in Ottawa, and she was the one that said, whoa, okay, you have a problem. Let's talk about this. So I spent a long time eating baby food and trying to, like, just, like, wean myself back onto food without vomiting, but there was no success because it was just, like, I would backslide like crazy whenever I tried. So I eventually told my parents. My mom came down to visit me in Ottawa. She was like, who is this girl? What have you done with my daughter? And we were driving back home that weekend, and I told her, I said, Mom, I'm struggling with this. And she was hurt, angry, sad. I think that she was just full of emotions. And yeah, I went back to school, and I tried that for a while. I tried to, you know, my parents would call me every day and check up on me, but it just, nothing was really happening and changing. So, yeah, I was really frustrated. But then one day my mom called me and said, Jenna, you need to come home. You need to come home. I've already called the people at your school. You go, you talk to these people, you talk to your counselors, you talk to your teachers, and you come home. So I went and I talked to everybody and I came home. I came home about this time of year, a little bit earlier. So it was a year ago. Seems like a lifetime ago. But I came home and I was getting physically better, very slowly but surely physically better, but my mind was still sick. I'm going to read you something. I wrote, I documented everything after I was healed. And so I'll read you something that I wrote about that. My mother was so hurt and so frustrated. All she could do was hold me while I cried. All she could do was sit and pray over me while my mind seethed. Why the is she doing this to me? She is making me fat. She is making me fat. She is making me fat. God wants me to be fat. The screams inside were so loud. Couldn't she hear them? Why did she keep praying? Why? I wanted her to give up on me. I wanted to give up on myself. My mind was very, very sick. So after we realized that nothing was helping me physically, we went to the hospitals and doctors and everything. My mom said, this isn't in my hands. We got to give this to God. So my family, who had not been to church since we'd moved to Stockdale, came to at the crossroads because my mom said, what church would you like to go to? I said, oh, Jacques and Sharon have a church. Let's go there. So we came here. And for a month, I stood in like the third row over there or something, and I sang the songs, not really meaning them, but wanting to mean them. And slowly God was starting to do a work in my soul. And there was a lot of struggle that happened at that time. But then on New Year's Eve, I was sitting in the church, and actually this is something that I really wanted to read too, that I documented here, because I don't know, yes. When the evening of the new year arrived, I made the decision to go to a service being held at my church. Upon arrival, Pierre, a member of the congregation, came to talk to me. We had not met before. For over an hour, he witnessed to me. He spoke of passion and purpose. He spoke to me about meaning and about the importance of discovering my calling. It was much needed. So, Pierre, I just want to say thank you. You're standing by that door over there, and you helped change my life. And then Pastor Travis basically said, is there anybody here that needs prayer? And everybody was kind of playing shy. I don't know. Everybody needs prayer all the time. And then he said, Jenna, can you come up here? I can see that you need prayer. So I went up, and Pastor Travis prayed over me, and it was like God took an axe and went, and I was split into two, and I was on the floor, and I was crying, and I just felt flooded, with what now I know is the Holy Spirit, but it was crazy. It was beautiful, and I was totally changed. In an instant, I was totally, completely renewed. And I went back to school, and I went back on my floor, and everybody looked at me. They said, something's really different about you. What happened? Did you get a new haircut or something? Like, I don't know what's up. And I'm like, oh, the world is great. There's reason to live. There's joy. There's this. And people were like, wow, okay, what's different? So then I started preaching in the door. And it was great. And there were a group of people on my floor, some core Christians, and we really sought God together, and that's awesome. But one thing, too, that I really noticed upon going back to school was my room was filled with demons. The same demons that had been in my head were in my room. So I got rid of all my old CDs. I got rid of all my pictures. I got rid of my purging sticks. If you don't know what that is, don't ask. I got rid of laxatives, anything that was bringing memories. I got rid of clothing that didn't fit me anymore because I gained quite a lot of weight. So I tossed it out, and over my mirror, because we have a huge mirror in these dorm rooms, I posted these. I posted scripture verses all over my room, over my window. I posted pictures of the people that I love on my wall so that when I woke up in the morning, I wasn't confronted with a mirror, an image of myself, or I wasn't confronted with pictures of other people that were too skinny to be human. I was confronted with scripture. I was confronted with the word. I was confronted with God and the people that I loved every single day. And so I began to seek God. I began to seek his word. And just that change was amazing. It was just, I was full. And I think about where I could have been. I know people who are going through what I'm going through now, and I see myself in them and my old self in them, and I feel for them because I know how it feels. And I guarantee you that if you know a teenage girl, if you know several teenage girls, chances are you know somebody who's going through this, because this is, the disease is a horrible statistic that far too many people become a part of. And the most important thing to remember about anybody who has anorexia or bulimia is that you cannot feed them food, because they will only think that you're making them fat, and that's the only thing that will cross their mind. Just feed them scripture, feed them God, and love them. Love them so much. Just pour Jesus into them, because that's what they need. And any of you mothers or fathers who have teenage daughters, I just encourage you to constantly give them Psalm 139. Tell them to memorize it. Memorize it with them. Say it with them, because that psalm is beautiful. And it's just, it shows you how much that God knows you and loves you. Because it says, "For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works. And that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret." And, yeah. God knew us before we were born, and he made us. And whether we're tall or short, big boned, small boned, I don't know, have big feet, small feet, curly hair, straight hair, red hair, blue hair, green hair, whatever, God made us all. And yeah, we have to thank him for that, and thank him for creating the people that we love, because there is a purpose and there is a reason to live, and Jesus is that reason. So that's all.